I believe that for many of you this morning, the Holy Spirit has already comforted you, giving you new confidence this morning. You're in God's house, and where you gather in His name, He's there in the midst of His people. He's here to minister to you this morning. You know, I would like to think that we can minister to Him as well with praise and thanks. In this season, we are reminded to be thankful. And we have to carry it through the whole year to be thankful all year long. Luke chapter 17 has a beautiful story about one man who came back to thank Jesus for what he had done. It's the story of the 10 lepers. What the 10 do or 9 do and one does is very instructional. What Jesus says about the 9 and the 1 is very instructional. So I want to talk to you this morning about true thanks. Do you know that in the years of reading this particular passage and others in the Bible, the entire Bible actually, I've come to this conclusion that thankfulness is a good barometer. It's a good measuring stick of our spiritual health. Thankfulness is a good way to measure our spiritual health. It's a good way for us to measure our proximity to Jesus. It's a good way for us to measure our understanding, our perception, our appreciation of who He really is. Our thanks is a good way to measure our dependence on Him. It's a good way to measure our devotion to Him, our love for Him. And so that's why I say to you, this is the bottom line. Thankfulness is a good way to measure. It's a good barometer of our spiritual health. Read with me here in Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, that means Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." An alternate translation of verse 19 is, "Your faith has saved you." God, we thank you this morning for your wonderful word, for your wonderful presence that we have already sensed in this place. And now, God, we feel compelled to give you thanks, praise, and glory. Even as we sit at your feet to learn of you this morning, may we learn to be more thankful, for you are infinitely great. Unending is your goodness and love to me. And so my praise and my thanks will be unending to you. And God, we pray that you would do everything you want with us in this place this morning, because the healer is here, the deliverer, the savior, the redeemer, the forgiver. You are here, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One Sunday, a pastor got up and surprised his congregation, and he told them he was resigning. He gave them the normal platitudes that you would if you're going to resign and tell your church that you were moving on. But he said this to them. He said, "The same Jesus that brought me to you, to this church, the same Jesus that led me here is leading me to another congregation." And after he was finished, the worship leader jumped up and led the whole church in an impromptu song. "What a friend we have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. So they were expressing their thanks. It was a little bit odd, their timing, but I want to ask you this morning, when and how and to whom do you express your thanks? Let's put God top, number one on the list. Number one on the list. You know, someone once thought about the nine in this story, the nine lepers who didn't give God thanks. And they wondered, what reasons could they possibly have? Because one came back and nine did not. And so they listed nine possible reasons that they didn't come back. The first one waited to see if the cure was real. Is this all real? The second one waited to see if it was going to last. The third one said that he would see Jesus later on and thank him. The fourth one, does any of this sound familiar to you? Yeah, I can do that later. I don't really need to do it today. Thank God. Where are we, number four? The fourth one decided he never had leprosy in the first place. The fifth one said he would have gotten well anyway. The sixth one gave the glory to the priests that Jesus told him to go and see, because that's who was supposed to confirm. In one way, they were like the physicians of that day. They confirmed whether you were healed or not. The next one said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. And the next one said, any rabbi could have done this. And the ninth one said, I was improving anyway. You know, we come up with a lot of reasons, and some are very evident to us and some are not so evident. A lot of reasons why we don't give thanks. But the Bible simply says this: rejoice in the Lord always. And in Thessalonians, Paul says, in everything, not for everything. Let me make that clear distinction this morning, lest we find ourselves like one of the nine and we're reasoning away. Wait a minute, I can't be thankful about everything. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks to God. You may be going through a tough time, a tough week, month, year. You may have a rough life, but you can be thankful for God. You can still be thankful even in everything. Several times I read a little quote from Corrie Ten Boom, her sister, when they were in a Nazi concentration camp. I can hardly say it because it reminds me of how unthankful I sometimes am. They were stripped of all their clothes, and Corrie's sister turned to her as she stood there naked. She realized, as Jesus hung naked on the cross, she said, I never thought to thank him for that. Now, these are people of deep gratitude to Jesus. Not for everything, but in everything, you can thank him. We, as a matter of fact, we are supposed to thank him. From this story, I learned some things about true thankfulness. True thankfulness draws me to Jesus. Does that make sense? True thankfulness, the one who really decided Jesus has to be thanked, turned around. It simply says he returned. True thankfulness just sort of draws us back. It draws us back into God's house. True thankfulness gets you back into the Word. True thankfulness gets you back on your knees. True thankfulness gets you to stand up like I saw somebody a moment ago doing this. God will send down an army. God, I know that's true, and I just got to thank you for it. Maybe even before it's happened, it just brings me back. It draws us back to the Lord. A man named Park York had a wife who suffered for years from Alzheimer's disease, and he became her primary caregiver. Now, for a while, it was just some incoherent sentences and a lot of forgetfulness. Eventually, she forgot everyone and everything, and she even forgot her husband, who he was, but he faithfully took care of her. Then on a Friday, out of the blue, with perfect clarity — this is another one I got to pause for a second, it's hard to say, because you realize if you were in this situation, you pray that you would be like this husband. With perfect clarity, out of the blue, she looked at her husband and she said, do you want me? Suddenly, she had all of her faculties and she asked him this clear question. And he was shocked, but he blurted out, of course I want you, Flossie. And he hugged her and he kissed her. He was so thankful for that moment when she came back and she had her mind and she asked him. He was there. My point is, he was there. Can you imagine how many times later he thought, I'm so glad it wasn't a nurse who was there at that moment. I'm so glad it wasn't a caretaker or someone else. It was me. It was me. I'm telling you this morning that thanks needs to come from your lips and your life directly to Jesus. It's a personal thing from you to him. It's a personal thing, and it draws you back. It keeps you at his feet. You know, in Luke's gospel, we also read the story of the woman who came, the sinner. It's very clear, that story. The sinner, the woman who came with the alabaster box of perfumed ointment, very expensive. The Bible says when she heard that Jesus When she knew, rather, in Luke chapter 7, that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought the alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and then it describes what she did. There it is. That's what I'm telling you about coming to Jesus. When she knew where he was, she got her stuff together. She said, I'm going to Jesus. When she knew what faith that woman had, she poured out the oil. She cried all over his feet. Now, get the picture, because it may be hard for you to picture what's going on. In that day, they reclined at a table and probably almost laid down and leaned, so his feet would have been out to the side. And she came thanking him, and she came loving him. She came needing him. Even before all that was going to transpire did transpire, and Jesus tells a story to Simon the Pharisee in whose house they were. Simon doesn't get it. Oh, what's going on? That's a sinner. And Jesus tells a story about how anyone who's been forgiven much loves much. And she had faith that Jesus was a forgiver. Do you have faith in that this morning? Doesn't it make you want to thank him? I have faith that he's forgiven me, and it makes me want to praise him and thank him. And the Bible gives me a million other reasons, but that one's right at the top. He does something nobody else can and nobody else could. And in that story of the woman with the alabaster box, the Pharisee just didn't get it. And she did. And it drew her to Jesus. She came to Jesus. True thankfulness draws us to him. True thankfulness is expected of God's people. In this story, Jesus says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And the story here in Luke chapter 17 tells us that he's a Samaritan. The Samaritan was an outsider to the Jews, in many ways disliked and despised. But here, the point is being made that this Samaritan that many of the Jews consider to be outsiders, this is the one. He understood Jesus should be thanked. Now, to get the full impact of this, you look at the whole context here in Luke's gospel. And you see that in chapter 16, chapter 17, and in chapter 18, Jesus is having discussion after discussion, interaction with Pharisees. And here the Savior, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world has come into their midst. And he's teaching them. The Savior is teaching them about salvation. The Son of God is teaching them about the kingdom of God. This is wonderful beyond words. But they don't get it. They don't get it. And here in this story, dropped right in the middle of all of these interactions. As a matter of fact, you see in verse number 20, right after this story, he asked the Pharisees. He's constantly interacting with the Pharisees. I believe God placed this here for a reason. For a reason. To remind them and us that we who know him ought to know enough to thank him. We who know his blessings, the Pharisees, they were steeped in all the tradition and the history, blessed to know so much about God's goodness already, and should have known the Son of God when he came, but did not see him or recognize him or thank him. May I say this to you, that being unthankful actually is an ungodly thing? In Romans chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that even nature reveals God. Even nature. Now, that's not saving knowledge. In other words, you can look out at nature and see that there is a creator. Intelligent design is everywhere. This takes something beyond just accident. Well, what many believe who don't believe in God. It was just an accident that all of this happened. So then Paul says, now, they can suppress, and they do. Many people suppress the truth unrighteously. They just deny what is so obvious. And then he goes on and he says, although they knew God or know God, because they can see the evidence everywhere, they did not glorify him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. That is a description of people who deny God. People who deny God are not thankful to God. People who know God, that's us, that's you. It's you and me. If you know anything, if you just came in this morning, and let me tell you something, God was ministering as we prayed with people up here this morning. Don't ever think that that's just a time out. you know, and you can drift off and think about turkey and mashed potatoes. Stay engaged and stay praying, because sometimes we're praying for people who need delivered. And we were. And God ministers and moves. And if you just gave your life to Christ 30 minutes ago, you already have experienced enough to thank Him all the way until He comes back for you again. You've already experienced enough. You already know enough. You're on the inside. True thanks also expresses our understanding. Speaking of those who are on the inside, it expresses an understanding. We know, like the Pharisees were supposed to know. Jesus is constantly impressed, like in this story, and yes, even surprised by those, as he calls them here, foreigners, people on the outside, who express more faith and sometimes a greater, at least from the heart, an understanding, maybe not knowing everything that others did know, but they knew this. The leper knew this. Jesus did this. Nobody else could do that. That's God. Jesus did this. I'm coming back to thank Him. Or the woman with the alabaster box. He's a forgiver, and I have to thank Him. Real thanks is an expression of what we understand about Him. Or may I put it another way? What you believe about Him. What do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that without Him you'd be totally lost and your life would be a wreck? I do. That's what I believe. That's what I know to be true. And it compels me to thank Him. Another important story here in Luke's gospel is the story of the prodigal son. And for all of his faults, the prodigal son, the younger brother, there's another brother in that story that we often ignore. He's at the end of the story, but that's instructional. And again, in its original context, Jesus is talking in part to the Pharisees, and they are to see themselves in the older, unthankful, envious brother. Ooh, and a modern day Pharisee needs to see themselves in the older, unthankful, envious brother too. But in that day, or in that story, the prodigal son, for all of his faults, had an understanding of the heart of the father. The prodigal son, the story says, he came to himself and he realized that even the servants have it better than me. In other words, to paraphrase everything, my father is a good man. He understood that. And so guess what he did? He got up and he's going home. And indeed, the father runs to me. You know what I love about that story? I love that we are supposed to think of who, and Jesus tells us the story, we're supposed to think of who and what our Heavenly Father is like. He ran to meet Him. He didn't say, well, when you get up here and you go through all the motions, He just couldn't wait for Him to get home. He ran to meet Him and all the blessings that He heaped on Him. But He came home. Now, the older brother, in contrast, remember, he won't come to the party. They throw a party. The father throws a party because his son, who was lost, is found. He was dead and he is alive. That's what happens every time one of us comes back to Him. That's the expression of it. He came home and the older brother wouldn't come in. He said, I've done all. And here's what happened. Here's where unthankfulness comes from. I deserve that and didn't get it. I don't understand. They've only been saved for, I mean, he just came home. I'm just joking with you. That's how some people, well, they've only been in the church for a week. What in the world's going on here? I never got that. Well, unthankfulness comes from that kind of an attitude. I've earned it. I earned it. I worked for this. I've been so faithful. And we can forget to be thankful. Envy can drive out our gratitude to God when we look at someone else and say, how is it that they, maybe at work, how is it that they got that so fast? What about me? But thankfulness, real thankfulness, comes from our real understanding that God is, like the father in the prodigal son story said to the older son, all I have is yours. You are with me. You've always been with me. That's the truth for every one of us as God's children. We are with Him. We are His and He is ours. We are blessed to be in His house. We are blessed to be in His family. I didn't deserve it. He threw open the door. I was an outsider and He said, come on in. I was a sinner and He said, you are forgiven. And for that, thank you, God. Thank you. And that's for every one of us here today, in case you wondered where you fit in. We're all the undeserving ones. We're all the ones who have received grace and mercy. And finally, true thanks. I love this about the story. True thanks can't be contained. You have to find an outlet for it. Do you remember when you first met your honey? Yeah, we're all smiling. It was the phone call. And then another phone call. And then flowers and cards. And you're looking for ways. How can I tell him? How can I tell her? It should be like that with Jesus. This man, I just wrote down what it looked like when he came back. He returned to thank Jesus. He returned with a loud voice. I said to the early service, remind me not to forget to tell you something about that. He returned with a loud voice. He praised God. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. My translation, New King James, says he fell, but the word means to move rapidly in a downward direction. It sounds like he threw himself at Jesus' feet, which is, I believe, what the NIV says. And he gave him thanks. He returned with a loud voice. He praised God. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. And in all of this, he is giving him thanks. Do you know what I have found is true for every one of us, including me? At the beginning of the story, it tells us that there were 10 lepers and they lifted up their voices. They cried out, "We need help." But in the end, when it came to who was going to give thanks, it was only one who lifted up his voice. Just one. They lost 90%. They lost 90%. You know, let me first say this, that there is absolutely nothing wrong with crying out to Jesus for help. As a matter of fact, the Bible was very clear that we can and should. Jesus even said that we should pray that way. Give us this day our daily bread. And over again, the Bible invites us to come boldly. We say it, I say it, most every time that we have special prayer at the beginning. Come boldly to the throne of grace. It means to come with confidence to the throne of grace, to find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. There's nothing wrong with crying out when you need help. We just need a little extra oomph, don't we, to cry out when it's time to thank him. We just need a little extra inspiration. It's funny how we suddenly clam up when it's time to thank God. I think it wasn't a couple weeks ago that Pastor Horn said on a Sunday night, sometimes we need a little dynamite. A little dynamite. To get us going sometimes. We need a little more inspiration. But let me tell you, we don't need any more from God for what he's already done. Thanks just looks for, when you're thankful to God, I mean really thankful, you just look for an expression. Our music is one way that we do it, in our songs. We do it in prayer and pray. We do it when we serve. When you're in the classroom teaching those young kids, one thing you're doing, among many other things, one thing you're doing is saying, God, I thank you that you're the Savior. You saved me and you're going to save them. I thank you that you are a helper and a healer and that you have called me to this class. And one thing we're doing is thanking him. We are thanking God. We're looking for an expression to thank him. I saw a story yesterday that reminded me that sometimes gratitude just bursts forth and you can't hold it back. There was a young man who was colorblind, 12 years old. His principal was also colorblind, but his principal got these very expensive glasses that allowed him to see color. And he gave them to the student, and somebody was videoing this, and they put it on the news. He gave those glasses to the 12-year-old student to try on. And he said, "How do you like those glasses?" And the 12-year-old, at first he just gave a thumbs up, and I thought, boy, couldn't you say more? Well, it turns out he was so overwhelmed he couldn't speak. He started to cry, took the glasses off. He was sobbing because he had never seen the world that way before. And just by slipping on those glasses, suddenly everything changed and he saw everything in a new light. Let me tell you something. If you've come to Jesus, you've seen now everything in a new light. And your gratitude for him, it seeks for an outlet. It seeks for an expression. Times it may it may leak out of your eyes in tears. And other times it's a thank you. Sometimes it's a hand raise and a hand clap. It's a song you sing. But praise just looks for, thanks just searches for a way to tell him how much he means to you. And the words that we share, that's just the least of it. That's just the least. You know, I shared this past week from the book of Acts, an interesting story as we were going through the book of Acts. Paul comes to Ephesus, and in Ephesus, God is working through him in a powerful way, and people are giving their lives to Christ. You see all the signs. And if you read the story, I believe it's Acts chapter 19. If you want to pray, and I hope you do, pray about revival. Pray Acts chapter 19, because there you see people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, saved, delivered. When they are delivered and saved, they come confessing. They burn their books of magic, which are probably worth about $10,000. And then there's so much going on. God is working in such a wonderful way that people stop purchasing these. Well, in Ephesus, there's a temple to the goddess Diana. And there are people who make these little silver trinkets, and people are buying them. But now their sales have taken a severe slump. And one man who speaks up on behalf of all those who are selling these little, they call them shrines, dedicated to the worship of Diana. One man named Demetrius, who's the ringleader, says that Paul has convinced many that gods are not made with hands. I thought, yeah, that's good, Paul, you go. If that stirs them up, then go right ahead. Keep doing it. And then everybody gets so worked up. They get so worked up, they gather in this public place. And for 2 hours, the book of Acts tells us, that they are shouting out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." For 2 hours, they can't stop. And they're trying to drown out everything else to a God that doesn't even exist, a goddess that doesn't even exist. And sometimes we feel like we got to prompt the prime and get just to say a few things to the God who delivered me, set me free, and saved my soul. The one who's coming back for me one day ought to be praised with at least equal enthusiasm. He's worthy. I want the musicians to come back. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and praise him for 2 hours, but I'm going to ask you to give him your best for a few minutes. Can you do that? Would you stand with me this morning? This week, we're going to be thankful for a lot of things, but let the top of the list be Jesus. Let him be at the top of the list. Number one, we are thankful for you, God. He is in this place this morning. So whatever praise escapes your lips, he'll hear it. I promise you he will. Whatever praise, whatever thanks you give him over the next few minutes, he's listening. He's listening. Don't worry about whether I hear it. But Jesus, I want you, if you would, gather with me. Let's gather together. Come on, church. Thank him this morning. Oh, he's unspeakably good. I'm convinced that when I get to heaven, if he chooses to reveal it to me, there will be so many things I never gave him thanks for, I should have. So many things I wasn't even aware of, where he protected me, guided me, covered me, maybe said no to me for my own safety because he loved me. That's how good God is to us. Just thank him. As they begin to sing, pray your prayers, sing your songs, but by all means, lift your thanks to God.
And you are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. because you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Because you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And you are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And you are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, blessing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You know, I don't want the rocks to cry out for me. I don't want the rocks to cry out for me. You know, when Jesus came to the house of the Pharisee who invited him and that woman came, Jesus turned to that man. He said, you haven't anointed me. You haven't washed my feet. But since she's come in, she has not ceased. I'd rather be like that, wouldn't you? Since she's come in, she hasn't ceased to kiss my feet. And wash them with her tears and wipe it with her hair. But you, boy, it's so easy to take for granted the good things that God has done for us. Please, Lord, let us never take you for granted. Help us, Lord, to remain supple in your hands and soft. Help us, Lord, to remain always appreciative, aware, praising and thanking you for how good you are to us, because you are ceaselessly good. And God, I pray that this week, each day, we would find a new reason to thank you. And in our personal and private time and with our families, we would express that thanks by being thankful to you and thankful for the people and the things that you have given to us. And so today we leave with that very attitude. And with thanks on our lips, thank you, God, for who you are. for all that you've done. You came when you didn't have to come. You saved us when you didn't have to save us. You redeemed us and healed us, and you're coming back again. For all of this and so much more that has gone unsaid today, we thank you, Lord. We go. We go in your peace. And Father, we pray all of this and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Love one another as you go. Have a blessed week. And we'll see you back here, God willing, next Sunday. Come back to worship the Lord.